Live from the Preferred Home Healthcare Studio, News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310.
13:29 to go here in the fourth quarter. 24-7 the advantage for Monmouth. As the Hawks looking good right now, they will bring their offense back on. First and 10 from their own 9-yard line. Pinned pretty deep back. The scoring plays today have been a bit unique. A long punt return for Jake Morrow and a solid interception return for a score from junior cornerback Joe Johnson. That has been the two big plays that Monmouth has been able to kind of spur this game along. And again, now with time ticking away in the fourth quarter, continue to lead in this contest. That run by Morrow, by the way, was 76 yards officially. Not sure if we gave that to you during the course of when it took place. Great fake punt call that was called from the coaching staff. I believe those calls usually come straight from the head coach.
And he has not only a specific call with the special teams, but some of the defense as well.
On first down, the carry up the middle for LaVon Chaney. We'll get forward to about the 13-yard line, gain of 4. I think anytime you do a fake punt and you're inside your own 30-yard line, it better come from the head coach, because if it doesn't work, someone's going to be in some big trouble.
Yeah. If not, you could see who called it if it doesn't work. If you see the guy running away from everybody else. Look for that play and the other plays. This week, MonmouthHawks.com. The highlights will be up on Monday.
Here's Brandon Hill giving it to Chaney off on the right side. Chaney in a break, some tackle, stay on his feet, get out over the 25-yard line, keep his feet to the 30. 35 cuts back to the far side. Numbers stood up to the 45-yard line and works his way all the way out to the 47. Gain of 34 for LaVon Chaney.
And Chaney's helmet came off. We'll have to sprint off the field, but he's fired up right now, Matt. The Big South all-purpose yardage leader. With a big, big run there.
And a pretty solid battle in that, by the way, with D'Angelo Henderson from Coastal Carolina. Chaney, I believe, only about a yard ahead going into this last week of activity. And with that last run, certainly won't hurt his cause if he can crack over the 100-yard mark overall. First down and 10 now for MU from their own 47-yard line. It's Welsh, a little stretch play off the left side. Welsh will bounce his way forward to the 45-yard line of Gardner-Webb. That's a gain of close to 8 to make it 2nd and 2 coming up.
And Monmouth wants this clock to just run now. They're up 24-7. Still haven't seen any points scored, Matt, going to our left in this game.
Welsh again. Good size hole. First down and more. Good bruising back is Zach Welsh, the sophomore from Middletown, Maryland. Monmouth now working some different players in and out. Welsh with a nice run there. He'll get a first down carry for MU down to the Gardner-Webb 30-yard line.
Monmouth moving it on the ground, under 12 to go in this one. It's what they want. Have the lead, have the clock running.
Chaney back in. Little play action for Hill. He's got tons of time. Will air it out, looking for Thaddeus Richards. Open in the end zone, touchdown! Went right around the corner from 30 yards out. Brandon Hill finding Thaddeus Richards. Hawks have just blown this game open. They lead it 30-7 with 11:39 to go in the fourth quarter.
Tremendous adjustment on the football from Thaddeus Richards. When the ball left Brandon Hill's hands, Richards was covered. He was blanketed. But the fifth-year senior did a great job making not only a great throw, Richards with the adjustment for that touchdown. That was all Thad Richards on that play.
For Thaddeus Richards, he catches the touchdown pass, his first of the season. Good way to go out for the fifth-year senior. On for the extra point attempt, up and good from John Coleman. And the Hawks now lead it by a score of 31-7. 11:39 to play here in the fourth quarter. Let's step out. We'll take a 60-second timeout. Back with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Quick check of that Big South scoreboard in what is essentially the league championship game. Coastal Carolina is continuing to lead. The game should just be starting in the third quarter. It is 14-7. The Chanticleers lead the Flames of Liberty. Again, a win for Liberty puts them as the automatic qualifier. Coastal Carolina would certainly get an at-large bid and still be a pretty high seed. And made the point, Eddie, while you were off at halftime, you can actually make the argument for the league. It's better for Liberty to win the football game, even though for Coastal Carolina, they're the number one team in the country, and that ranking would fall off, and they'd suffer their first loss. But I think without that, I don't think the league has any chance of getting a second at-large bid if it's Coastal who wins the game today.
Yeah, Matt, and you'll never see that put out by any conference official or anything like that. And
we can
obviously say it. The league wants Liberty to win the game. They want two teams in the FCS playoffs. I believe the playoffs, 24 teams now?
Yep.
After the expansion, you know they want two of the 24 in there. And you know, Mr. Kalander and crew won't say it, but we can say it. It's kind of common sense. You could have the number one overall seed in Coastal, but I think they'd rather have two teams. I know we would rather have two teams from the league that Monmouth plays in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, the only way Liberty's going to get it, their at-large bid chances took a pretty much off-the-chart hit last week when they lost to Charleston Southern. I guess they could say that the Buccaneers might have an argument as well. They'll finish their year with eight wins. Squib kick up the middle, again by Coleman. It is picked up and run out over the 35 to the 37-yard line, handled by number 95, Dalton Cochran. I have to wonder if there's something wrong with Lucas Santangelo, who didn't kick the last couple of extra points for Monmouth and hasn't had the last couple of kickoff chores as well. I'm trying to find him on the sideline.
He was on the training table when Demetrius Smith was on the training table. However, it kind of looked like he was just hanging out. I didn't realize something may have been wrong. And I'm looking on the sidelines as well. I don't see the 4-5 down there.
Beatty will give it here. The handoff is to Blunt. He is stopped at the line of scrimmage and dropped quickly. Pat O'Hara, the player that Monmouth will miss next season for sure. And that's probably the one spot, if you look in the defense, Eddie, it's the defensive line where a lot of guys will be graduating. Pat O'Hara gone, Eric Masick gone, Zachy Rosari could be a potential to come back for a fifth year. Josh Samanowicz gone, Andrew Jerzynski gone. Here's a delayed draw for Blunt. Breaks a tackle at the 38-yard line, comes forward to the 42, and we'll get about five to make it third down and five.
Yeah, and I know, Matt, we can talk about this during a fourth quarter now, in which Monmouth is comfortably in front 31-7. Obviously, Leslie will come back, and Demetrius Smith will come back as well. But outside of that, not only, and there's a late flag, personal foul called on Monmouth.
Face mask was called there on Zach Irizarry.
There'll be some other guys that will need to step up. You know, you take a look at some of the, and Monmouth doesn't play four defensive linemen. They play eight or nine and ten sometimes. So there's names that we've heard a little bit this season. You'll hear more next year. Manny Marigota from Freehold will be a player who's going to have to step up a little bit. Some of the other younger guys are going to have to fill those roles.
On first and ten, the give here up the middle goes to number 24, Khalil Lewis, who's been the fourth tailback to start. One guy to maybe keep an eye on, and a name that you probably will hear a lot in spring ball, Tanner Unger, who I've heard some pretty good things about, the freshman from Mount Joy, Pennsylvania. He's one.
And I got one for you as well. Mr. number 96, Davon Thomas, who was injured all season, came in with a lot of promise, an Allentown product. So he'll have four full years to compete after this year. He, along with Unger, I think two guys you'd look to see start maybe immediately, as well as Ross Williams. You could get some more time.
Yeah, Thomas, a guy, a first down carry by Lewis, will put the ball at the 30-yard line and set up a first and 10 for Gardner-Webb with exactly 10 minutes to go. Beatty stepping up and will get dropped quickly. Darnell Leslie will get the sack. That one pushed back to the 33-yard line. The pass rush has had a spectacular day here this afternoon for Monmouth.
Under 10 to go now, and fitting as we talk about the defensive line that Darnell gets that sack. I know he's a defensive end, and Monmouth's a 4-3 team, but how explosive would he be as a 3-4 outside linebacker? Yeah. I think that's his next level projection.
Yeah, not a question about that for sure. Pass to the outside formation left. Beatty throws it in the direction of Swinton, and that is incomplete. Sets up now third and 13, 9:34 to go. We're not on the other sideline, but, boy, if you're a Gardner-Webb player right now, you're just figuring out a way to get yourself out of this football game and back home to North Carolina.
Down 31-7. Most likely going to go winless in the Big South. Probably freezing It's time to get out of here.
On the road, they'd wrap up at 4-8. Pressure coming for Beatty. Good throw over the middle and catch at the 25-yard line. Mike Estes short of the first down. It'll be fourth down and four.
That'll bring up a fourth down.
Gardner-Webb obviously will go for it here. That's the beauty of college football. You get familiar with a lot of names over the course of a couple years, and as those names leave, it's the names that replace them that could take the program from one level to the next. Beatty here, fourth down, stepping up in the pocket in trouble, throws without even looking that Estes was there, I think, and finds number 83 down at the 17-yard line. That's a first down. Nice job by Lucas Beatty. He's a redshirt senior, so be interesting to see if it's Tyrell Maxwell to take things over next year or Beatty comes back for that fifth year.
Yeah, no-look passes more common in the game tonight, not so much the football game in the afternoon.
Quick pass to the outside, caught by Jacob Henderson. He's had a good day today. Down inside the 15 to the 11. Second down and about four coming up. Kerry Bernard, has checked in. Fifth tailback that we've seen today for Gardner-Webb. Draw play up the middle. Beatty inside the 10, gets down close to the 5. Picked up by Minnickin, pulled down to the ground. It'll be first and goal now coming up for Gardner-Webb.
Nearing 8 minutes to go, fourth quarter. You know this defense, Matt, still wants to keep Gardner-Webb out of the end zone. Obviously, all the starters still in. They want to have scored as many points as they've allowed in this one.
Here's the inside carry, and it is in for the touchdown, getting the football number 20, Bobby Clark, who will get his first rushing touchdown of the season. Gardner-Webb back onto the board to make it 31-13 with the extra point upcoming.
I think they're going to stay on, go for two. Got to get every point they can.
Well, what they're trying to do is get to 15. It would make it essentially a two-possession game again. Trying to play the numbers a little bit. 31-15, you'd still be within two scores. You'd need two touchdowns and two two-point conversions, but it's certainly possible with 7:52 to go. Motioning across is Henderson. Beatty gets the snap. Hangs in the pocket, throws, goes over the middle, wanting Henderson, and he's able to get in for the two-point conversion. Just barely broke the plane of the line of the goal line, rather, and it does make it 31-15. We step out for 60 seconds. Timeout taken on the field. 7:52 to go in the fourth quarter. We're back in 60 seconds with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
7:52 to go here in the fourth quarter, 31-15. Monmouth on top of Gardner-Webb in the final day of the 2014 football season. Eddie and I will be back on the air tonight with a 7:30 tip-off set as the Hawks basketball team will entertain and take on Central Connecticut State. Old NEC foe will be on the air just prior to the tip-off at 7:30, assuming everything goes the way it should in game number one.
Yeah, game number one, 5 o'clock.
Which is always kind of one of those questionable things when there's a doubleheader. 7:30 start time, you hope.
You hope. Now, basketball games, the beautiful thing about them is they're obviously timed. Untimed events like baseball are the big concern, but allotted enough time for overtime. It's either 7:30 or 30 minutes after game one. If it is after 7 o'clock, it goes into overtime. But judging by what we saw yesterday with Towson and Bethune-Cookman, the Tigers should have not an easy go of things because Bethune-Cookman has some talent, but Towson's the best team, along with Monmouth, in this tournament, in my opinion.
It looks like Gardner-Webb planning for an onside kick here. Monmouth has moved most of their players up. This one angling its way into the Gardner-Webb sideline and goes out of bounds. It never got that big hop to hang in. It was skipped all the way across the field by Paul Schumacher. And it will be Monmouth football. They'll get excellent field position out of it. The ball, I think, went out of bounds around the 43-yard line, and that's exactly where they will spot the ball.
Well, Matt, even if it got the big hop, wouldn't have mattered. That ball did not go 10 yards. So the ball was kind of just line-drived right out of bounds. And Monmouth will have it here, 7:52 counting. And one score away, even a field goal from really icing this one.
Yeah, the ball went out at the 43, plus the penalty, plus five. Monmouth has it at the 38-yard line. Greg DePue has come on at the quarterback spot. Started last week, played pretty well in his first collegiate start against Coastal Carolina. Had a couple of touchdown passes in that game. Threw for over 200 yards, and DePue will operate the offense now. He is a fifth-year senior and kind of a good touch of class here by the coaching staff to make sure probably some of the older guys will get a crack here if their eligibility has come to an end with this football game. 7:25 to play. DePue, little play action, quick ball fake, gets the ball outside to Neil Sterling, who will work his way forward and get down inside the 35 to the 34-yard line. We work our way down towards the 7-minute remaining mark here in the fourth. It's Monmouth 31, Gardner-Webb 15.
I know, Matt, you keep an eye on the entire league. You think Neil Sterling has a case for first team all-conference, or maybe because of how Monmouth has done more on the second team?
I'm going to tell you that I would be shocked if he's not a first team selection.
I agree.
I would be shocked. And if you use, you know, you think, okay, how's one team do versus the other? A competitor would have been Kenny Cook, who has not had a great day today. So, I think Sterling is clearly a first-team all-league guy. Here's LaVon Chaney getting it. He's taken down for a loss at the 35-yard line. I mean, his numbers have been outstanding. Sterling's have been. And there's not really a question that he's been able to adjust to the speed of play here. Had a good game. I mean, had eight catches last week against Coastal Carolina.
He's had great games in league play. He really has. Had a long touchdown down at Presbyterian as well.
And I think he's got a legitimate claim to be on that first team all league. Be interested to see when that comes out, who's on it for Monmouth in any of the representative teams. DePue here going to tuck it and scramble on fourth down and seven and get to the 30-yard line. Delivered a pretty good blow, but unfortunately for Monmouth, they'll have to give the ball back to Gardner-Webb with 5:46 to go in the fourth quarter and still a two-possession game. Remember that. You know, they always say stranger things have happened, and Gardner-Webb, even though offensively they haven't been able to do a whole lot, they still do have that chance that they can get a quick score here and the football back.
You said it. 16's that magic number in football now. That's where we stand now. 31-15. Sun's gone away. That's not good for us up here.
Eddie and I broadcasting outside in the stands today. Here's another good catch by Henderson. Lit up quickly.
80's pass complete to Henderson.
By
Johnson.
Joe Johnson. 5.5 to go. Gain of about 3. Second and 7 now coming up. The skies have certainly become a lot cloudier since it was 12 o'clock. Beatty gets it. Throws over the middle. Finds a man. Catch is made by Cranfill, who will run his way forward to midfield. Again, don't sleep on this football game yet. It's just a two-possession game. There's a Monmouth player down. I believe it's Peyton Minnick who is slow to get up. And Minnick will quickly come off under his own power. Anthony McDonough, who was injured last week, not playing today, so it's number 47, Brandon Anthony, who will come on in that spot right now. Right back to the line for Beatty. Clock continuing to move. Right around 5 minutes to play. Three receivers set left. Single man back to the right. Cook, the target, intercepted again by Johnson. Keeps his feet at the 50-yard line and then slips at the 46. Joe Johnson with a couple of picks today. That might seal it for Monmouth to get a well-deserved victory here in the season finale.
Hey, Matt, you're getting an up-close and personal view of, I think, what's going to be the real strength of this defense the next couple of seasons. Three picks in this game. Mike Basile with one. Johnson with a couple. And he read that one beautifully. He actually was playing more safety on that play, interchangeable part. And he jumped right in front of that one And like you said, that should seal it.
DePue will come back on here with the offense. Chaney stays in the game. Sumlin and Davenport on either side. Blitz coming. Chaney will work off on the left side, get down inside the 45 to the 44-yard line. And with 4:45 to play now in the fourth quarter, Zach Welsh will check in. Chaney will check out. This is a good way, if things hold up, for Monmouth to go into the offseason. Again, you get so many things out of the way. You get a winning season for the first time since 2008. You get your first league win out of the way. Second down and 8 with 4:20 now to go. MU trying to use that play clock in between plays. Welsh on the ground. Outside zone left. Flag is out. Welsh bounces his way down inside the 40 to the 39-yard line. But this one thrown pretty quick. It'll be on Monmouth, I believe, the penalty flag.
Yeah, thrown by the umpire, so that should be a hold. And I'll tell you what, Matt, you know, coming into the season, we knew we'd be for Monmouth. KB Asante, Levon Chaney was going to get some carries, and unfortunately, and it is a hold on the Hawks. With Asante going down early in the year and Chaney really emerging, I like the duo, Chaney and Welch, moving forward next year as well. Other guys, Michael Jolly as well, is going to get a look in the offseason. Ed Royds as well has been a player that has shown he can carry the football. So where you're going to lose a lot of receivers for next season, four of your top pass catchers will graduate. These running backs are going to help to aid whoever the next quarterback of Monmouth University is. It won't be Brandon Hill, with both he and DePue graduating.
Cody Williams, you would expect to be the heir apparent, the freshman from Springfield, Mass., part of the recruiting class a season ago. DePue, little play action. Rolling off onto the right, throws, wanting Lamar Davenport, who can't hang on to it at midfield. The one thing that we do know, short of a transfer type situation, and you always keep the door open for situations like that, whoever takes the snap next year for Monmouth will be taking really their first collegiate snap.
Yeah, it'll be someone on the roster who has not played for this team yet. So it'll definitely make all the more importance the offseason, spring ball, and summer conditioning, and the familiarity that this quarterback, whoever it is, will have to gain with his receivers.
Third down and 21 after the penalty and the incompletion. DePue now with 3:55 to go. Again, Monmouth would love to ice this with one more score. Here's Welsh on the carry. Runs through a couple of tacklers and gets back the 11 that the Hawks lost on the penalty. And I believe Gardner Webb has a player down here. They do. It's Aaron Cook, the top tackler on this team. Good player. Sophomore from Edgefield, South Carolina. Cook able to pop back up. Timeout has been taken on the field. Actually, Gardner Webb has used a timeout, so Monmouth can't run off any more time before they get the football back. We'll step out real quick as well. 30-second break here on the Monmouth Digital Network and the Shore Sports Network with the Hawks leading 31-15. We're back from Monmouth Stadium right after this quick pause.
This is the Shore Sports Network, WOBM Lakewood Township, WADB Asbury Park. Listen online at WOBMAM.com. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310.
3:36 to go. Missed a punt and a change of possession. Monmouth booming away as Ryan Moore doing a good job of hanging this one inside the 10-yard line. With a fair catch call, the running Bulldogs will bring their offense back on. It will be first and 10. For Gardner Webb, 3:36 to go in the fourth quarter, 31-15 the score in favor of Monmouth. Here comes Beatty, wants to throw, goes up the middle, finds Swinton, who cannot hang on to the football. Johnson there on the coverage, and it will be second and 10.
Clock stops, 3:30 to go in this one. Now the only thing short of a big Gardner Webb play here should be pretty much in hand. I know it's still 16 points, but the only thing yet to be determined, really, the final score in this one.
Long throw to the near side. Cook on the step-by-step coverage by Joe Johnson. Ball is incomplete. There was a flag thrown just as the ball was snapped.
going to be, I believe, an illegal man downfield. I think that's what they said.
An eligible
receiver.
Jacob Henderson, an illegal man downfield. The play will be declined. It should make it 3rd and 10. 3:22 to go now in the fourth quarter. Basketball doubleheader tonight, 5 and 7:30 the game times. Mom with a play in the nightcap in that one against Central Connecticut State. We invite you to join us on the Shore Sports Network. Here's Beatty throwing inside over to Henderson. And gets the ball out to the 13-yard line for a gain of 5.
Bring up a fourth down.
Fourth down coming up, and Gardner Webb will have to punt it away. Dumas back deep, awaiting things at his own 45-yard line. Clock continuing to move, pressure coming. High spiraling kick, good job by Komornik. As he sends Dumas back to his 40-yard line. Fair catch called for and made. Monmouth will get it. And let's see who comes back on here offensively. It'll be DePue again. Danny Agaman, the senior from Lodi, New Jersey, will come on, get some time at the tailback spot. Agaman, good special teams player over the course of the last couple of years. We'll get, I would think, a carry or two here in this series to wind up his career. He will get it. Good cutback as the door closed left, going to the right. Gets back to the line of scrimmage. Agaman on the year has carried the ball 10 times, now make it 11. Gardner Webb won't do anything to try and slow this clock down. Mike Strange, the junior from Davidsville, Maryland, has checked in.
Yeah, neither team obviously in much of a hurry, and Gardner Webb, Matt, has pretty much thrown the white flag up to signify the end of an effect. Both team seasons, Monmouth will earn its first Big South win.
Snap taken. Dominic Esposito has come in. Agaman working his way, trying to get back to the line of scrimmage, able to do just about that. And now Gardner Webb has taken a timeout with a minute 44 to go, seeing some new players on there. Dominic Esposito, the backup center, getting some time here. Ed Hunt, the senior, has checked into the game. Steven Andes, the senior, up on the offensive line right now. Reese Johnston still playing right now. Also, number 66, Matt Guids, has come on for some time. And I guess for Johnston, who's the lone starter still out there, he probably told Coach Brian Gabriel, the offensive line coach, hey, I just want to play it out. I don't need to come out. This is probably my last time playing football as a fifth-year senior. The announcement right now being made to the home fans that Neil Sterling had moved in last weekend to the all-time receptions leader list and the number one spot above Adam San Miguel. So he is acknowledged from the crowd. Great career here at Monmouth. I think capped off even more so as local guy from Manasquan, elected to stay home here. He's had a bunch of NFL schools, a bunch of NFL teams look at him. We'll think after the season here, you know, probably take a little bit of rest time and start working towards how many reps he can put 225 up and what his 40 time will be. Here's Agaman with a couple of flags thrown out. Agaman delivering a good shot out of bounds. This one likely coming back, though thrown quickly usually indicates something on the offense. For Sterling, he'll be compared to Miles Austin because they're both from Monmouth, but different types of players. Sterling a little bit bigger, a little bit more probably rugged, but that's his trick. I had a great conversation with him before the game. When I got here this morning around 10:30, he was the only player on the field for Monmouth. And I think really, you know, it's what you think of as a college athlete. He was soaking it all in. He was out early stretching. He was completely by himself. There wasn't a player anywhere on the field. And you can just sense, like, we really want to get this win here today. It's almost the the present that the older guys are giving to the younger guys. Hey, we've got your first Big South win. It's out of the way. Now go get them next year.
And, Matt, it's an interesting thing to see when that moment happens for players. You said it for Neil, it happened before the game. For other guys, it'll probably happen in the next couple of minutes down there on the field where it'll sink in. And unlike Neil, a lot of guys will be playing their final game today. We know 1-7's got a lot of football ahead of him moving forward. You said it, there's been NFL scouts in all the time. Whenever there's donuts in the office, I know there's scouts around, so that's been a lot this fall with Moore here punting.
Another good punt by Ryan Moore, who is using up his eligibility today as well. We'll see new punters next year for Monmouth, Matt White and John Coleman, the two young guys underneath Santangelo, who does have another year left, and Ryan Moore, who's done well certainly this year as the full-time punter for Monmouth. Minute 29 to go here. It's 31-15 in favor of MU.
Beatty will come back out for the final 89 seconds of this one. Put a bow on this season.
Swinton in motion. Beatty gets it, throws over the middle. Finds a man. The catch is made by Estes. It'll be a first down, 12-yard pickup. With a minute 22 now to go. Clock stops for just a second as the chains reset, and the referee quickly puts the clock back in motion. Four receiver set. Beatty looking. He's been harassed all game. He's got a man wide open, Swinton. I'm not sure if he lost the ball in the sun, but he turned one way and the ball went the other. It's an incompletion. He was wide open on the far side.
Yeah, I think he did lose it in the sun, and I'm always a little interested why when players lose a football in the sun. Baseball, I get it. When you lose a football in the sun, why you kind of go to protect yourself? You're covered in pads. It's a football. Maybe try to just stick some arm or hand out and try and catch it, but he turned one way. As you said, ball sailed out of bounds.
Now on second and 10. Beatty steps up, dumped down pass for Blunt. He's thrown down and wrapped up by Dan Sullivan. And Sullivan and Sterling, the two Manasquan teammates, each playing in their fifth-year seniors. They were on the cover of the Monmouth Game Day program. Kind of fitting that they both came here off of great successful careers at the high school level. Third down and long. There's a timeout that's been taken down on the field. We'll keep it here with 55 seconds to go. And as they wrap things up, you can see some hugs, handshakes, and some emotion now starting to be expressed on the field between all of the players on the Mama sideline. You know, every team has its own unique personality from year to year, and the guys that we won't see anymore, they're, again, trying to leave their mark here, and next year we'll be calling different names, some same, but a lot of new names next year. You know, new quarterback, as Eddie mentioned earlier, a lot of new receivers that will work their way into it. The defensive line will have to be replaced a lot.
And how about where we'll begin next season? On the road at the first ever FBS opponent for this team, Central Michigan.
Third down here, dump down pass again. That is caught, dropped by John Sikowski. Sikowski, a guy who's got to be considered for all league type accolades this year. Second, third leading tackler during the course of the year, right in there, 2-3 spot. He's had a great year. Now fourth down with 20 seconds remaining. Beatty gets the snap, throws over the middle, finding Cook, who will make the catch, and Cook able to, in the tackle, get forward and get the first down out to the 39-yard line. Clock stopping for a second, and we'll again move forward. Early movement here up front. Not sure if it was Gardner Webb or Monmouth. I think Monmouth is jumping offside.
Yeah, it'll be on Danny Sullivan playing potentially his final game. Definitely last game in a Monmouth uniform. He tried to jump the count there, Matt, when Beatty went to clock the ball.
Sullivan, a guy whose numbers I think will warrant him getting a look. He'll be part of the pro day that usually takes place the end part of February.
He's going to put up crazy numbers at pro day. That'll be better than I think people are expecting out of him. He's a freak of an athlete.
He sure is. He can run, bench, and pretty much do anything athletically. So those numbers usually open some eyes for those NFL scouts. If you've got a good-sized guy who can run fast, and he can run fast. He is a tremendous athlete. Referees having a quick conference here with just 15 seconds showing on the clock. Hawks will get the win that has eluded them over the course of the last four games. The first win in Big South play. They'll put a couple of seconds back on the clock, I think. It'll be first and five. 20 seconds exactly. So anything from here forward could be the final play of this regular season. A successful end to the year for Monmouth. Beatty getting it. Here comes the pressure. Hit as he releases the football. And a bone-jarring hit by Dumas as Cranfield was open and he got lit up by Kamau Dumas.
Cranfield was broken up by Dumas.
Dumas, the sophomore from Morristown, New Jersey. If that's the last big hit of the year, Dumas just left a lasting impression on Gardner-Webb.
Yeah, that'll be a good one for the highlight package that we get during the week on MonmouthHawks.com and YouTube.com/MonmouthHawks. That was a big one there by 24.
Coming up in the post game, we'll do a quick wrap-up. For more on this game completely, go to the website at MonmouthHawks.com. Again, as Eddie said, full highlight package will come up. We'll do some post-game video as well. That will be posted after this one. Second down and five. Incomplete pass. The intended target was Blunt. It'll make it third and five with 4 seconds to go, barring a penalty. This will be the final play of the 2014 season.
It'll be in a Monmouth win. When we know that. Winning record. First win in Big South play. Full effort today and an opportunistic defense led the way this afternoon. Big plays all around.
Blunt the single back. Monmouth here will rush four. Swing pass to the outside. Blunt will catch it. Sikowski there to make the tackle. Blunt able to break a couple of tackles. Get forward. Fall forward to the 45-yard line. That will do it. So on the final day of the 2014 regular season, Monmouth getting a winning season for the first time since 2008. They will finish up their year at 6-5 and a win in the Big South. The Hawks make a historic victory here today, 6-5 overall, 1-4 in league play, and they wrap up the 2014 year with a resounding victory over Gardner-Webb, 31-15. We'll take a quick 60-second timeout when we come back. Eddie and I will put a cap on this quick post-game show for you coming right after this quick pause on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Couple of 500 years over the last couple of seasons, but for the first time since 2008, Monmouth will finish plus in the win column and a game over 500. 6-5 overall with a 31-15 win over the running Bulldogs of Gardner-Webb, and for Monmouth, their first win ever in the Big South. Our post-game show today is presented by World Subaru. Visit World Subaru at Shrewsbury Avenue in Tinton Falls. Check them out online at worldsubaru.com. They think the world of their customers. Eddie, as the fight song being sung right now, nice moment for Monmouth. All of the seniors in front, the underclassmen behind them. And as we talked about, this just a huge win for the Hawks. Again, you get the winning season. You get the first win in league play out of the way. You now start the postseason with some momentum and a victory here this afternoon.
Yeah, Matt, and the seniors go out on a winning note, which is the most important thing. Winning record, as you said, 6-5 overall. Win one in the Big South, a big one for this team, 31-15 over Gardner-Webb. Now, you hope this starts the positive momentum swing into the offseason conditioning program, ultimately spring ball, and then never too early to look ahead to the 2015 season.
Quick look at our final stats. That's presented by McClune's Restaurant. Visit McClune's.com for more information on all of their great location. Hawks overall on the day with 356 yards of total offense, 165 through the air, 191 through the air on the day. Brandon Hill, not his best day, 13 of 29 for 161 yards. Did have a touchdown. LaVon Cheney, good day on the ground, 23 carries for 88 yards. Jake Morrow had the big fake punt, one carry for 76. Zach Welsh, 5 for 34. Through the air today, Thaddeus Richards, 3 catches for 72 yards. Neil Sterling, 4 catches for 50 yards. LeVon Chaney, 6 for 41. So Chaney up over the 100-yard mark in the all-purpose category today on the day as well. Eric Sumlin, 1 catch today for 2 yards. The team effort today certainly in full effect. We saw the defense, Eddie, on full display. Joe Johnson with a couple of interceptions, had the long run back for a touchdown as well. Mike Basile with an interception and that fake punt. All in all, you factor in all three facets of the game today. You know, not the best day for the offense, but sometimes it doesn't need to be the best day for the offense if you get wins for the special teams and the defense.
And they definitely carry the afternoon. Solid defensive effort, opportunistic, special teams was great all game. And you add those two that were so good and enough offense to get a 2-score win in its first Big South victory. Great job overall. You said it. A lot of those names are coming back. Johnson, Basile, and a crew in that secondary that's going to be one to look for in this league.
Take a quick peek at a couple of the league games on our Cokesier out-of-town scoreboard. The league championship has become a bit of a dogfight. They start the fourth quarter with Coastal Carolina leading Liberty 14-12. Final from the non-league game, the University of Georgia. The Bulldogs knock off the Buccaneers of Charleston Southern 55-9. Presbyterian, as we mentioned, has the bye in the final week of the regular season. Hawks win it here today, 31-15, the final score. As we mentioned, our broadcast tonight, basketball-wise, Eddie and I will be on the call, part of the CBE Hall of Fame Classic. It'll be Monmouth taking on Central Connecticut State as the Hawks and Blue Devils will get together game time there, set for 7:30. Eddie, as always, this season, a lot of fun. Certainly nice to go out on a winning note, and I will see you, Owen, a couple hours from now, but fun, as always, to be part of the broadcast with you.
Matt, I'm the fortunate one. I work with the best play-by-play man in football, does a great job not just on our games but on the high school games as well. And go inside, thaw out, warm up a bit, and I'll see you in a couple hours. Partner, thanks. Great season, as always.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Well, some thank yous to go around as well. Mark Anthony, part of the engineering crew back in the Shore Sports Network. We've had Zach Collins on during the course of the broadcast as well. Everyone just doing a fantastic job. Harrison Strevens, who does a lot of our Tuesday night coaches show, of which we will wrap things up coming up for you Tuesday night down at the Water Street Bar and Grill Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Coach Callahan and I will do our final show of the season. We'll break down this game, break down the offense, the defense. We'll kind of do a postseason wrap-up, look ahead a little bit to next year's activity as well. As Eddie just mentioned, the offseason doesn't really take place any much that more. Players will get a quick little break, and then when they come back in January, things will be in full effect for sure. Greg Viscomi, the assistant athletic director in charge of communications for the football program, always a big part of what we have going on here broadcast-wise. Gary Kowal, who has operated during the course of the broadcast as not just an announcer, but a research guy, a technical guy for us, does a tremendous job during the course of the broadcast. Brian Sweeney, who did a couple of the games for us during the course of the year. We've had a variety of analysts during the course of the season, and we expect to bring you some great coverage during the course of the offseason and into next year. It'll be a monumentous year for Monmouth. Year two in the Big South, first FBS football game will take place against Central Michigan. So as we say, a good afternoon here from West Long Branch, New Jersey, for the final time in this 2014 campaign. We thank everyone at the Shore Sports Network, the director who was our public address announcer here at home games in the Monmouth Stadium, Kevin Williams, Eddie Iacopinti, my broadcast partner. I'm Matt Harmon saying so long for the final time of the 2014 campaign. You've been listening to Monmouth Football. Hawks win it 31-15 over the running Bulldogs of Gardner-Webb. MU finishing up their year 6-5 and get the first win in league play here in the Big South. You've been listening to Monmouth Hawks Football on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network. Have a great offseason. We'll talk to you early February for our signing day special.
This has been Monmouth Hawks Football on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310. And ShoreSportsNetwork.com. The Monmouth University Athletic Department would like to thank our sponsors for powering this broadcast. Coke Zero, the refreshing taste of Coke Zero. Zero means it's game day. The NJEA, making public schools great for every child. World Subaru, get more for your money. McClune's Restaurants. For locations, visit McClune's.com. And the Monmouth Smoke Shop on 2nd Avenue in Long Branch. This is the Monmouth Hawks Radio Network, a production of the Monmouth University Department of Athletics.